Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello and welcome back. This is Sid Garza-Hillman, or welcome if you are a first-time listener. Glad you're here. And as I always say, this is not a series in terms of one following the other subject-wise, so always feel free to pop back and listen to other episodes or for the first time. Different subjects, different themes, but there's stuff carrying through because it's all about what we do here. What we do here, in case you're just joining us, this podcast is dedicated to moving past the diet paradigm. It's dedicated to small steps. It is dedicated to lifelong sustainable changes in health and a picture of health that is broad, way beyond food. And encompasses the whole picture of the human species. My book, Approaching the Natural, A Health Manifesto, is a philosophy of health book arguing that the closer we get mentally and physically to our natural design, the better we feel and the better we do, the more we thrive. So that's where I come from. So before we begin, I wanted to just tell you how to get in contact with me or follow me on Facebook. I'm transitioning to health. Twitter, at Sid Garza-Hillman. I have a retreat coming in January 20th through the 23rd at the Stanford Inn. The Stanford Inn is the sponsor of this podcast, and they are hosting a retreat that I'm sort of heading up. I run the Wellness Center there, the Mendocino Center for Living Well. And that website is Living Well Mendocino, where you can find info about the retreat. The Stanford Inn site is stanfordinn.com. And so that's January 20th through the 23rd. On the joint 25th of January, I am speaking at the Plant-Powered Health and Fitness Expo in Berkeley. That's Saturday, January 25th. I think I'm starting at 10 a.m., my talk. And it's just it's a cool event. It's all day, and tickets are $10 now. I think there was a promotional for $5. Hopefully you got in on that, but if you didn't, they're only $10 anyway. So more info on that, you just go to vegfoodevents.com, vegfoodevents.com. So that is the business. I'm kind of getting the word out a little bit on Facebook. I'm trying to kind of, I'm not good at that stuff, so I'm trying to whip that down. So if you feel like getting me a gift for the holidays, throw me a like on Facebook or follow me on Twitter, something to that end. The last thing is that I did set up an email address for anybody who has questions or comments about this podcast or has suggestions of guests that they would like to make, and that is podcast@transitioningtohealth.net. podcast@transitioningtohealth.net. Transitioningtohealth.net is my private practice. I have clients all over the country. I work as a health coach, a daily check-in model, not a one-off, here's the plan, hope you good luck with that, but a shepherding of sorts, working through the issues we have around food and practical issues with regards to how to negotiate a very unnatural world in a little more of a natural way. And that leads me into the subject of today's podcast. It's not really one subject, but we're getting into the holiday season, so I wanted to kind of go there as we enter the holidays and what that means for everybody, or could mean, or should mean, or, well, not should, but could. One quick story, an anecdote. This is fun for me, and, you know, I got all the control, except that you could just turn it off. Oh, well. I was in line at my market yesterday, 2 days ago. And no, it was yesterday, and long day. And standing in line, I got here's what I had. This is, I'm not even joking. I had 3 heads of lettuce, 1 box, 16-ounce box of spring mix, 8 tomatoes, and a jar of salsa. Figure that one out. And standing in line, this woman behind me, she goes, wow, that's a lot of greens. I said, yeah, you know, that, yeah, yes. I don't know how you respond. You just go, uh-huh. I don't know how to respond otherwise to that. And she goes, funny that I'm reading this book. And she pulls, I'm not kidding, my book out of her bag with a bookmark in it. She's like reading the frigging book. And I was like, wow, that's what a random occurrence there. Anyway, then she gets all embarrassed because she's got meat in her bag. So she like takes out the meat. She's like, oh, and I said, don't, you're not, no, it's approaching the natural. You're just fine. And it occurred to me, I don't want to be that guy that people can't, I mean, she hadn't read the whole book because clearly I'm not a, you know, you got to go from zero to 60. Anybody listening to this podcast or has will know that that is the anti of what I am. Because why? Because that adds stress. And as a practitioner and somebody who wants to help people become healthier and happier if they so choose, I don't want to add stress to your life. You know, when clients reach out to me, I don't necessarily take every client that reaches out to me. Sometimes I'm like, this is not a good fit. I can tell. Because I got to make sure that I'm going to be good for you, that I'm not going to be another one of those things like a fad diet or something that you feel pressure on. That doesn't work for me and it doesn't work for you for sure. And so why would I do that? So, you know, I hope I made her feel better. I was like, you're doing great. Like she had vegetables and I didn't even scrutinize really. She was just kind of pointed. I said, you're fine. It's approaching the natural. It's thinking about it. This is a philosophy of health podcast. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's a philosophy of health podcast. This is not a 10 steps to this or that. It's not a diet thing. It's so far beyond. So that was my fun little story turned scary. No, it wasn't. It was fine. My birthday, this is big news, by the way. My birthday is on Saturday. I am a solstice baby. If anybody wants to connect the dots on that, my birthday is December 21st. I will be 45 years old. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not like one of these dramatic birthday kind of people. So I'm just old enough. Like I can see the future where there will be a day where I will forget it's my birthday. Like I'm that close, you know, like I'm beyond the kind of any kind of excitement really. I mean, it's fine. What I ask for every year, and this is not a joke, like I don't want things. If I could sleep in, that's the gift that is it's beyond value. Like there's, you can't buy that kind of gift. So I'm always like, if I could sleep in, we're good. And so I think I'm getting that for my birthday. I won't be surprised, but I won't know because I'll be sleeping. In theory. But as I get older, and I'm not, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm old, but I'm older. 45 blows my mind. It occurs to me that there's very cool things. I'm not one to get nostalgic. I mean, I certainly have points where I remember, you know, being younger in high school and then there's fond memories, but I try to remember that there was a lot of not fond memories. You know what I mean? Like it's always like, oh, that was great. And if you really think about it, it's like, that kind of sucks. Like I was stressed and, you know, there was good, but it wasn't all good. And so I'm having this experience these days of feeling like there's some times where I can and should sort of act like I'm 45, but in my heart of hearts, I don't feel anywhere near 45. I feel like I'm 25 still. Like the way that I sort of approach life is it just whipped by and I don't feel like there's certain times, certainly as a dad, where I have moments where I'm like, I'm a friggin' dad of three. This is weird. And I'm sitting in the living room and I feel like I'm in a movie of fiction of where I drank a sip of chamomile and what got transported to an alternate lifestyle, you know, alternative anyway. And, but like just kind of having that thing. And then there's times at work at the wellness center where I'm like in a meeting or a discussion, I'm like, I'm 45, I'm 40. They're treating me like I'm 45. Like that's how people see me or, you know, 40s, come on. Late 30s. But what I also realize is that as good as I feel, and I feel good, I just ran a marathon. I'm, you know, I am really for real in better shape at 45 than I was at 25. That's just a fact. Like I can do more physically, but the recovery time certainly is not where it was. And what I've been thinking about is that as we age, and I know that my listeners scan. So if you're under 30, you know, it's there's a spectrum of my listeners. You know, I know I've got early 20s and I've got 60s and 70s. It's whatever, bear with me. But I'm realizing that I think what my goal is in life is that as I feel less good physically, that I feel better mentally. And that's why what I advocate for in health and in my practice, in my book, and this podcast, is a broader picture of health than diet. Because I think people think to get healthy, you have to go on a diet or you have to exercise, and it's this very like limited picture. But really, for me, it's a big picture, and it scans all the things, and even maturing and like thinking about your life and thinking about who you want to be. And because I say always that health, it should be a practice, that it should be something that you like yoga, that you or training for a marathon. It's even less like training for a marathon because there's like the end game, but it's like you're in training. If you're constantly working on yourself, and work maybe isn't even the best word, because it's not work like, I got to work on myself. It's like you get in that mindset this is what I help shepherd people through. I help shepherd people to a place where they think about their health all the time without effort. It's sort of like, you know, like now you brush your teeth every day, you don't think about it. But in the beginning, when you were four, like I have to remind my kids to brush their teeth, but eventually they're just going to brush their teeth like what I do. And so I'm sort of like shepherding people through, hopefully with this podcast, where you're thinking about your health every day. That's where I want you to start. So that once that's in place, then you're kind of there. Then it's just filling in the blanks of what you can sort of do every day, but you've got that mindset. But at first, it's weird. Like people don't, and I did that last episode on selfishness, because I think so much about our lives is like, you know, you got to work hard for your company, for your boss, for your family, for your blah, 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 blah. And really, it should be like center focus. Like you should work hard for yourself because it makes you feel better. And therefore, it will affect in a positive way your company and your boss and your family. But if you start at start with yourself, it always emanates from there in a really positive way. So it is weird and odd for people to get up in the morning and the first thing they think about is not what they have to do today, but am I going to nourish myself? How do I need to move my body? Do I need to reach out to family that I haven't talked to? Do I need to make some calls that I want to, you know, there are people we need to reconnect? Do I need to do something creative? You know, do I need to get up and do I need to take on something creative? And then it's like the small step thing, right? Then it's like, well, what do I want to do? Well, how do I ease my way into that? And so I think that as I get older and as all of us get older, it's like this thing where you get less well physically, or I don't want to say less well, but obviously you are on the downside, right? Let's just face it. I mean, I'm not going to get like stronger in the next 40 years, but I think mentally, if I keep this kind of mindset about myself and thinking and growing and not going like, yeah, I'm there. I'm cool. I got it. I got it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out. I am working on myself. I do what I call in the book mental nutrition. I try to feed my mind as equally good nourishment as I feed my body. And as my body ages, my mind doesn't have to. And the way that I think and my confidence and my self-esteem and the sort of like the confidence that comes with aging, right? I mean, people perceive me at 45. There is a certain level of respect that I command, not because I'm like some incredible whatever, but I'm just, you know, I'm like an intelligent, I've done a lot of thinking and I kind of come off like I know what I'm talking about because I don't really talk about stuff I don't know about, you know? And so it's like, I'm not going to go tell you about spark plugs and try to BS you when I don't really know about spark plugs, but I have thought a lot about certain things and I come off more authoritatively in that way than I would have if I were 22 and knew the same stuff, because I have life experience that backs me up. And why do I have life experience? Because I have created in myself from early on when I talked about this in the first podcast, when I became an actor, I used to be an actor. And when I became an actor, I quit my full-time job, my safe, secure full-time job. And I quit it to become a full-time actor, which is the least safe and least secure job. And it was totally out of my personality realm, out of my frame of reference. But I did it because I had already at that time been, you know, really thinking about fear and what that means and my own quality of life and where I wanted my life to go. And as safe as it felt to have that secure paycheck every month and have the health insurance and have the things that come with that job, it wasn't worth it for me, but I had to think about it. And I think that when you apply that, for instance, to the food that you're used to, and you go, well, I'm used to this food, and there's a safety and a security in that, for sure. There's a safety and a security to the things that we grew up with and the things that we are used to. But when you become an adult, there's a certain element of, does that serve me still? And that's a power that is very enjoyable for me to experience firsthand, of that liberation that I felt years ago when I changed my diet, when I gave up my, you know, got rid of my asthma. That's where my brain is rolling when I turn 45 on Saturday. And I want to be honest, this is probably the most important part of this story, is that the only gift I get is not going to be sleeping in, because my wife buys me a really good bottle of scotch every year. Now, what I did was I try to make it last almost the whole year. Like I try to make that bottle like it's a good bottle. It's not like, you know, crazy good, but it's good. It's like a good bottle. Stuff you don't find in stores. She does like internet research and finds this cool, like, weird, out of the way scotch. And I try to make it last. But the year that I just finished the book, and it was just being edited, and I was like, I had just finished the book, and I was like, yeah, at the publishers, and it was being ready to print, and all this kind of crazy stuff. It did not last through January. That bottle lasted. And the 2012 birthday scotch did not last through January 2013. So I'm going to see where my life is at in that regard this year. When it comes to creativity, and I'm not going to make this about creativity, but I wanted to just kind of, this feeds into the whole me turning 45. I'm a dad, besides being an actor, where that's where I made my living, but I was a musician. That's been my passion for my whole life almost, and still is. I had a band for years, and we toured in Europe and US, and it was this exciting time, and acting allowed me to do that. I made a living acting, so I had plenty of time to pursue music, and it was a fun ride. I did it, and I feel good that I did it. Why? Because I'm not now going, I wonder what that would have been like. I really wish I could have done that. I did it, and now I have a family, and I don't have a real big desire to go on the road for a month and live in a bus. Like, I just don't. I mean, if it came up, I would have a real hard time, because I was a wreck when I did it when my daughter was 7 months old. I was a freaking train wreck, and I was touring through Europe. I mean, I enjoyed myself at times, but mostly during the day, I was like, this is like, I'm over. This is like, just touring is like, people think it's like, oh my God, that is amazing. They glorify it. But really, it's just like driving longer distances between shows. Like, it's, you just still show up and you load your crap in there, the whole thing. Not to devalue, but it's fun. But I still play music. I'm taking my own advice with creativity, which, by the way, I argue in the book is essential to human health, creativity. I think we are creative. I talked with Matt Frazier on this podcast, I think it was the 7th podcast, about creativity, about the role that it plays, about how we are creative. We have historical proof. I mean, there's digs and things where we find art created by us, certainly ceramics and all these amazing things that we do. That's our ability to use our minds in a creative way, even so simply as tools, but also art for art's sake, for beauty, for representation, for storytelling, exists in us. And when we turn that off because we can't stop for 5 seconds, you know, not texting and tweeting and Facebooking, and I'm not anti those things at all, but I always advocate for a balance. And really, first and foremost, I advocate for you answering your own question of, are you as healthy and happy as you want to be? Because if you are, then you don't need to change a thing. But if you're not, bringing in a little creativity, small steps, it always comes. How you implement the change you want, that's where I'm at. I'm going to fight you to the death on small steps. Well, I want to do something creative, so I bought a $8,000 guitar and a $10,000 amplifier, and I bought a whole studio, and I'm going to do this 4 hours every day. Well, you're not. I mean, most people are not. This is not going to be. Don't waste your time, because that's the diet analog. That's an analogy of a diet. Well, I need to get healthier, so I'm going to do a cleanse of cayenne pepper and lemon juice and hot water. I'm going to do that for 7 days. And then, of course, 7 days goes and you're done. And then you go back to doing all the other crap because you didn't change your behavior pattern. You artificially adjusted something. And that goes for all aspects of human health. That's how I see it. So creativity-wise, to bring a little bit of creativity. I mean, I'm talking about looking at a picture on your wall that's been there for a year and or 2 years or 5 years, and somebody says, "What's that picture?" And sometimes people can't even describe the art on their walls because they don't even take 30 seconds to look at it in a way that is life-sustaining, or it's a give. It's a gift. It's enriching. By the way, if you're hearing nasal, anything nasally on me, it's because I almost like bathed in gluten over the weekend. Like I went for a run this morning. By the way, first run since the marathon, felt pretty good. Went out with my wife, total easy, like 12-minute-y kind of pace, just real light, 3.5 miles, totally fine. Great, felt so good. I've been all week trying to take off. I didn't do any exercise, didn't want to push it, wanted to recover. But man, was I itching to move my body. Like it felt, I was so excited going down today. I was like, I'm going to take a nice, easy run, not pushing it at all. We just talked, got outside, and it just felt amazing. So it was just like, you know, that was just like a really cool thing that I ran this morning. Felt pretty good about that. So, you know, my energy is fine. I'm feeling fine, but I've got this like intense nasal, like, whoo. And it's because on Saturday and Sunday, I was like in bread hell. I mean, it was heaven. It was like hell dressed as heaven. I was like dancing with hell in like a really nice dress. And I was like, you look fantastic. I'm going to just dance the night away with you. Two loaves of, you know, La Brea Bakery Tuscan. I mean, just awesome. God, it was so good, but man, am I paying the price for it. So that's, if that's, you know, where you're at, that's what you're hearing. Anyway, so back to creativity. So it's like the small steps, like bringing that in is life enriching. And so in fact, okay, so this is all wrapped up and then I'm wrapped up. So we've discussed my birthday. This is all about me. My birthday, and you know what's it like to get older, and hopefully you can relate to all these things, by the way. And if you're, like I said, if you're 20s, it's just wait, okay? It's going to happen. But it's all for everybody thinking, right? Wherever you're at in your stage of life, I'm going to relay to you where I'm at in my life. But so music is still so much part of my life. I mean, it's weird in a way because I used to do this and now I'm a health coach nutritionist and I'm loving that chapter and I'm kind of open to, you know, this whole thing and I'm loving it and just fulfilling. I mean, I'm kind of trying to be fulfilled in whatever I do. But music comes up and I was on the way home picking up my kids from school and a melody hit me, which, you know, it does now and then. And so I got my iPhone out while I'm driving and I pushed a little record thing and I'm like trying to record this melody. So I'm going to play that for you. It's 29 seconds. I just want you to have a little snapshot of Sid Garza Hillman in my car. This welcomes you into my world for just a little snapshot. Sid Garza Hillman in my car recording a little melody that, you know, maybe I'll turn into a song or not, but I want to just give you a little bit of a heads up about my day to day. Oh, and you're going to hear Peppy is referred to, and I just bear with me. Peppy is a hand puppet that I do to make the kids laugh on the way home. Okay, you know what? Don't judge me. Okay, especially you young kids, just wait. Okay, it's coming down the pike. Don't get me wrong. Okay, so here's the clip. I want you to hear this. La, da, 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 da.
Hold on, no. Wait, I'm gonna
watch the movie. Okay, so I gotta pat myself on the back for maintaining any level of focus in the midst of that barrage of just, I don't know if you heard the wheels on the bus, but the way they wake up Peppy is to sing Wheels on the Bus. I could do a whole podcast on the nuttiness of me, but this comes back full circle. It's like, I don't feel 45. Like I want to have that level of fun the rest of my life. I want to be able to F around on that level with my kids or my grandkids, forever. So I got no problems. But anyway, I just think that's so funny. My life, maybe it's because my birthday, maybe I'm getting kind of sappy on this, but what a different world trying to get a melody down now versus when I was 25. But I ran a marathon. So, you know, things change. Anyway, okay, so I don't have a per se subject today. And I'm kind of moving away from that, but who knows where the podcast is going to go. I want, again, you know, if this is what you do for yourself, to listen, to kind of think about your own health and happiness, and this is what you do, the only thing you do, I think it's great because it gets you thinking. And if it gets you thinking, I'm happy, okay? But we're getting into the holiday season. A lot of stuff comes up for people in the holidays. People can get depressed during the holidays. There's pressure during the holidays. It's, you know, I have a whole chapter on social network in the holidays in my book, because I think we evolved as a tribal social structure. In the modern world, like everything else, we have moved away from that picture of what's natural, even in the regards of our social network. We move physically away from our tribes for very practical reasons, work and other logistical realities, schools and things like that, that we move. We're not with our tribe. And this is where I actually think technology can play an incredible role if there's intention behind it, which is that, you know, things like video chatting are great. I mean, I think it's amazing that I can be anywhere in the country and talk to my family and see them. Is it as good as seeing them in the same room? No, not by a long shot. But again, it's small steps and it's doing the best that you can. It's a step from, you know, white bread to whole wheat bread to gluten-free bread to brown rice to, you know, kale, whatever those steps may be. It's incremental and it's enhancing each step. Each step is enhancing the next step. It's like, okay, well, am I ready to go farther? It's 10th of a mile to half a mile to 3/4 of a mile to a mile and a half to 2 miles. And that could be over 6 months. It's what are you ready to do? But same thing with the social network. It's like we are busy, most of us, and we don't necessarily have time to spend, you know, storytelling with our families and spending all this time. It'd be cool, but we don't have that reality. I know that I'm super busy, you know, raising 3 kids with my wife and carpooling. You heard just the moment of I had that 30 seconds to try to get a melody down, how that was. But you do the best you can, and you don't turn those things off because you don't have time. You just do what you can to make yourself happy and therefore to make other people happy, et cetera, et cetera. So the idea of family during the holiday season, as pressured and as depressing as it could be if you aren't physically with family, it is a time, I think, that you could reflect on family, that you could reach out to family or friends. And by the way, even the term of family has become morphed, right? Because friends are really our family. I mean, I say family very loosely. I mean, people that are in your life that enhance your life, that give you your life meaning, that give your life purpose. Those people. That could be not your dad. It could be your friend instead. You know, don't fill in the blanks. I'm not saying reach out to people that you don't want in your life, but who are the people that give you that joy? And the people, by the way, that don't give you that joy, think about that too. Can you work on those things? Can you take incremental steps to enhance those relationships? Or are you, be honest, right? Remember the episode on honesty and being living without conflict? What relationships in your life bring conflict to your life? Are you maintaining relationships that you're conflicted about because they're truly not good for you and you know that? Well, that's first and foremost being honest about that and just being aware of that. Don't even act on it, but just understand that, because understanding that affects the way that you are in that relationship. Knowing that you have a relationship with a sibling that is contentious and not joyful for you can potentially down the line lead to repair or not. But either way, it's not workable the way that it is if it's bringing misery to your life. right? It's not doing a service to that person. You're doing a disservice to a person that you don't like being around by being around them. Look at it that way. Certainly doing a disservice to yourself. It's not serving anybody. So you take even small steps to that. But this is why, for me, health is such a broad picture, because it's whatever is conflicting for you. It's whatever causes you harm or misery or sadness or bad feeling, as in the case of food, like the stuff that makes you feel bad. It's understanding what things in your life are doing that versus the things in your life that aren't, or the things that are in between, and weighing those. And it's not like having to think about this all the time, but just, you know, we also don't have 2 hours a day to go, okay, let me evaluate all my relationships. Number one, father, nice guy on my birthday, but you know, et cetera. You know, like, who wants to take that time? Nobody can. But if you're, but what I'm advocating for, I said before in this podcast, is getting to a place where you're thinking about your life sort of instinctually. It's like just what you do. And you're kind of always, you take moments now and then. You're like taking moments. I'm going to take a moment. I'm like, you're in your car and maybe you're listening to this and your mind drifts off and you're like, yeah, I kind of feel crappy. Like, I need to get out and move my body, you know, or I want to have a big salad tonight because I ate, you know, really heavy. That was me, by the way. Saturday, Sunday, I was just like, I just bread it up and pasta it up. Like, it's not going to, I wasn't worried about weight gain. Two meals ain't going to, nothing. Who cares about that? It didn't violate any sort of ethical standard that I have with regards to my own personal food choices. It was just not good for me healthy. So it was conflicting physically, but not in a way that really made a difference to me. Like, I didn't sweat it. I didn't regret it. Here's the thing. I didn't regret it. I didn't regret eating it. I enjoyed eating it. But boy, on Monday, brother, wanted to just freaking clean out because I just knew what was coming. Sure enough, Tuesday, I'm waking up because, you know, gluten and dairy, by the way, allergies, among other things, but gluten and dairy specifically are different kinds of food allergies. And they're different because they're different than like peanut allergies. It has to do with these things called immunoglobulins and the way that your body reacts to these. And a peanut allergy is a different kind of allergy altogether. You have a little peanut and you're down for the count. But gluten and dairy are very insidious because you can eat them and you could not manifest those allergies for 1 to 3 days later. I mean, it can be kind of quick, but it can also literally be 2 days later where you're having like the full-on allergy attack and you're like, oh, I must be allergic to the pollen in the air, when it's your body finally getting rid of the craziness of the gluten and the dairy that you ate 2 days before. And you're not going to make that connection. I made that connection. You know when? 1992, when I gave up dairy and my asthma went away. But I hadn't up until that I read that book, Fit for Life. I hadn't made that connection because I would eat dairy and I'd have asthma and I just thought it was cat hair or whatever it was, exercise induced, et cetera, all the reasons the doctors gave me for why I had asthma. It was obviously none of those, because when I gave up dairy, I never had asthma again. Didn't change anything else. Didn't kill all the cats in the world. Still ran. But here I am. You know, you can hear it in my head. It's like, holy crap. But I ran today. Like, I have energy. I'm fine. I'm not sick. I don't feel sick. I just feel like I have an allergy attack. And I don't have allergy attacks except for when I do that much gluten. That's good, though. Okay, so back to the picture of health is that when we see health, when you start to see health as broader than just food or just exercise. And by the way, I want to hit on this point one more time because somebody else emailed me and they were like, oh, you should mention that. And I think I did in the last episode, but I want to do it again. As we get older, there's another thing that happens when you get older. When you get older, the part that food plays in your health is way bigger of a part than movement. And sometimes when you get older, like in your 30s and 40s, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I've got a little gut here and it won't go away. God forbid you change your diet, right? Because again, it's like what you're used to. People are much more apt to go to the gym for an hour a day because they can do an hour a day and they think that they can still do all the stuff that they were eating when they were 25 and thin, right? Because the body was more efficient then. It was younger. It was able to process better. Well, add 20 years to that and your body can't do that anymore. It doesn't recover as fast. And it becomes almost entirely about the tools you give your body, mentally and physically, to handle stress. And that in the purely physical realm, that is food way more than movement. You can go on light walks, couple mile light walks per day, and you're fine on the movement end of things. But you eat processed plants and a bunch of fat and high protein, you know, high fat kind of stuff, and you have a gut no matter what kind of exercise you do. You'll see, because your body's under stress. It doesn't have the tools. You're keeping the tools out of the construction site, and your body's trying to build a house, and it can't do it, and the house falls down. So that's kind of, so in other words, to get back to, when we see health as a broader picture, when we get past the idea of health as being a diet or a personal trainer or an exercise plan or some sort of short-term thing, when we see it as a broad picture, we can enter the holiday season and we can not feel guilty about the food that we're going to eat necessarily. We can get nourishment that is more on the mental side of nourishment. We can get family time nourishment. We can get feast nourishment. I mean, feasting is not exactly, you know, foreign to our species. You know, in fact, I would say there were times in our evolution where a lot of times, and probably for lots of people that still live in the world, just not in the US, that food wasn't readily available all the time. And when you found food, a food source, you would go after it, because we didn't evolve with food at every corner, or stuff that looks like food, you know, a man-made calorie source that's deficient in all the things that our bodies need to work well. But we didn't have it all the time. So feasting is sort of like this thing that we do sometimes. Unfortunately, for most of us, we feast, and then every other day we like kind of feast, right? There's never like, it's not feast or famine for us. It's feast and then like being full all the time. Like that's our two states are like over full and totally full, you know? And that's, you know, that's a problem for us. But entering the holiday season, I think that you can enjoy the feast. I will tell you that for me, and what I try to get my clients to, and what I'd like to get you to, if you're open to it through listening to this podcast, is getting your health to a place most of the time such that when you do feast, when you do enjoy a bounty, to look at it that way, there's no conflict. It feels amazing. Like when I have a big feast, I enjoy it now more than ever in my life, because most of the time I'm not doing that. I think I told this story a few podcasts ago, but there was a buddy of mine, still a good friend of mine, who doesn't smoke anymore, but he used to smoke a bunch, a couple packs a day. And I asked him once, I said, do you feel, do you enjoy your cigarettes? And he was like, no, not really. I was like, you don't enjoy smoking? He's like, no, now I have to smoke. Like I have to come out here every 10 minutes to smoke, or 15 minutes, or probably 10 minutes. And so even then, and that was probably ironically around the time that I gave up dairy to get rid of my asthma, but I thought about it then. I was like, when you do something all the time, you in a way become desensitized to that thing. So, or you need more of that thing, right? So you need like even more. And that's how you can sort of go over the hill, like on the downside of things like alcohol and things like, you know, I did that episode on addiction, the addiction of addiction. You should go back and listen to that. But that's how it kind of happens. Like you set your bar at like, well, I'm going to eat, what I call in the book lightbox foods, highly addictive, pleasure center kind of. I'm going to eat those. I'm eating those all the time. Well, then you become desensitized to those. So they don't give you the high as much because you're doing them all the time. You're kind of at that level of high all the time. And so but you still want to get high. So you've got to like push the limit there. And so you're like, you're going downhill. You need more donuts and more ice cream and more fried, you know, French fries, and they're vegan, right? And more, you know, burgers and more this and fried chicken, because it's like, you got, it's that whole thing. Whereas if you set your bar at mostly nourishing, not necessarily all, you know, I mean, I've been doing a lot of reading on like the fruitarians and these kind of things. They're not extreme. I want to be clear on that. Like in the context of modern society, somebody who eats fruit all day, for sure, they're extreme. But in the context of our species, that's not extreme. That's like the most normal, one of the most normal, like leaves and fruits. Like it's not, these are not weird. Their bodies are going, thank you, this is totally what I'm designed to do. You know, great. So they're sort of like fringe, I would say, you know, factually. It's not like, I'm not trying to be pejorative, but it's like they're fringe. They're not in the mainstream of society, for sure. But certainly don't deserve any kind of like severe critique because they're not doing anything extreme. They're not doing anything damaging. In fact, they're doing things that are, you know, environmentally and ethically fine, you know, great. But when it comes to the holiday season, you know, those people who are doing in the context of society, who are doing fringe and extreme things in the context of what we all kind of, most of us do, there can be conflict there. There can be issues that come up around how they integrate with their families and integrate with other people in the social setting with very, very hardcore dietary rules and guidelines. So how do we do that? And I know that most people who listen to this podcast are not in that necessarily that realm. So I think a lot of people that are in that realm kind of build a social structure around that. So like if you're fruitarian, they probably hang out with other fruitarians in that way. Now I'm 100% plant-based, but none of my friends are 100% plant-based. Literally one. I'm friends with Jeff Stanford, you know, and Joan, they're vegan. But I don't like, this just not my social structure, but I've managed to keep friends and enjoy friendship and have all the things that are really important to me. Food, I love food. But what I really love around this time is being with family and friends. And I love just doing that period, but this is a time that we can kind of do this because the kids are off school and et cetera, et cetera. So when you look at health as the bigger picture, you can say like, I can kind of do these things, enough of these things, but it doesn't have to all be about food. I can give up a little bit on the food side health-wise. Like I can have, you know, we had my in-laws over the weekend and we had that bread and the pasta and the thing. And I gave up a little bit of that. It didn't break the bank, but I could enjoy it. But I could also really, really, really take enjoyment from the family of having a big meal with a family. And that's part of health. I mean, I'm arguing here that that is as essential to health as all the other pieces, but we need all the pieces. But when you come to a table and you're like, no, I can't do that. I'm not going to go to dinner because you have that kind of food and I don't eat that kind of food. Well, that's opening yourself up. Now, with that said, could you bring food? Sure. I bring food. Usually, I assume people aren't going to have food that I choose to eat. But also, I don't want to expect that from people. I'm not going to walk in and go, you didn't make something that's of the level that I demand. I show up with food, or I call and I go, hey, don't worry about it. I'll be there. It's fine. Like, we just want to go and hang out with you guys. It's no problem. Now, a lot of my friends are like, they're open to enough of it where they'll have something for us. They're totally cool and they take care of us that way, but that's not expected. And they're like, you know, a lot of them are just health-minded anyway. They're not 100% vegan, but they think about health because you don't have, it's not, they're everywhere, everybody's where they're at. When you talk about a diet, then you talk about you either in or you're out. And that doesn't add fun or enjoyment to anybody. Get to where you want to be and enjoy that place. Enjoy that balance in your life. But again, if you're not where you want to be, then these are the places to look at. Food, movement, creativity, your social structure, your mindfulness, how breathing, things that you know, how you think. Meditation. You want to meditate? Take a deep breath. I've said it before. Take a deep breath. You're meditated. You don't need to buy the bells and whistles. You might eventually. You might eventually. That's great. Wherever you're at. For me, when I'm in the car, I breathe. I take deep breaths. I kind of, you know, slow down a little bit, and then I just kind of breathe and listen. I don't really focus on my breath in terms of, you know, taking deep breaths or counting, but I kind of just listen. And then sometimes I play music and enjoy that. It's just, that's kind of my time. But also when I run, that's my time. I don't listen to music when I run. I talked about that before. That is my time to just be with my thoughts. And that's how I roll. But that's me. You don't have to roll like me. You don't, your life does not have to look anything like my life. But I think that to improve your life with regards to health and happiness is to know where you want to go and to take steps toward that. That's it. That's it. Know where you want to go and take steps, manageable steps you can do every day for the rest of your life. And that's what you do. Okay? So, but on a practical level, you know, if you want practical advice, which is one of the things I like to do with my clients and I will do with you, which is how to literally do this tomorrow, like in your world, is to call ahead and go, hey, listen, I'm trying to eat this way most of the time. Like I'm going to, you know, whatever that is for you. Can I bring something? No, we're fine. Or yeah, that'd be awesome. Thank you. Okay, cool. I'll bring it. I mean, it's just what it takes. Now, somebody might be thinking like, that just sounds like a pain in the ass. I just want to go to a party and eat what they have there. Do it. I don't, you know, like there's no judgment there. But if you want to be healthy and live a little more naturally, which to me are synonymous, living naturally and living healthily are two things. Because if you're living naturally, you're serving your human design the way that it's supposed to be served. But okay. But if you want to do that in this supremely unnatural world, there's some planning involved. The issue is, can you get past the transition point where it's kind of funky and weird and it feels unnatural to the point where it's just how you live? Like I just pack my stuff in the morning. I don't get up stressed and go, God, I got to pack my stuff. I get up and I make a smoothie and I make my little green shake and I make my bananas shake that I do and I put them in jars and I'm talking to my wife and hanging out and fixing kids' stuff and making espresso and that's what I do. Some people go totally beyond that. They'll be like, espresso is really bad for you. I know. But I love it. Sorry. It adds to my life. If it didn't, I wouldn't do it. Or I'd take steps to not do it. If I felt like espresso was the bank breaker, if I was sick all the time and had weak bones and, you know, acid reflux and all this kind of crazy stuff, and I'd be like, well, okay, well, there's a few things I could probably get rid of. Coffee, that's one of them. Scotch, don't do it often, but if I'm having that kind of stuff, that's probably playing into it. Refined plants, yeah, all right, I got it. Yeah, I'll start to decrease those things because I'm miserable. And if I'm not that miserable, I'll keep those things and get on a drug. It's just your own choice, but you're thinking about it and you're not going, oh, I must take a medication. You know, medication serves a purpose in many cases. But I think we can all agree that it's not natural to be on medication and it's not good for you. There's side effects and damage done by medication, ancillary damage. It is not a healthy model. By the way, as an aside, there was a report on CNN, this is a mind blower, that supplements pretty much don't do anything. Oh my God, I had no idea that we've been talking about this for the last 20 years. Thank you, CNN. You're on the ball. You nailed it. What a way to lift the veil on supplements. That buying multivitamins is a waste of money. I really appreciate your time. So anyway, that's where I'm at. I'm as you go into the holiday season, go at it, go into it, in your life in general. I want to nourish myself way. And understand that nourishment can be mental and physical and a mixture of both. And it can be, I'm going to a meal tonight that I'm going to eat stuff that's not so good for me. So today, before I go to that, I'm going to really like fuel. I want to eat like nourishing. I want to take care of myself in this way up until that party. I want to have fruits and raw vegetables and have watery stuff and get all hydrated and awesome and feel all good. Because I know that tonight I'm going to have a few glasses of wine. And so I want to, you know, make that balance for myself in a reasonable way. You know, can it be damaging to you go, I'm not going to go to that party because they're going to have XYZ there. Well, that's a bummer for you, unless you just don't want to go to the party. But if you want to go to the party, but you're not going to go because of some self-created rubric that you have category, you know, design and lifestyle that you've self-created, then that's limiting, isn't it? That's conflicting for you, isn't it? But if you go, well, I want to go there and I know they're going to have probably a bunch of crap, I'm just going to bring some stuff. Great. And if somebody, by the way, says, I don't want you to come in because you're bringing that stuff, then yeah, whew, you're probably not going to want to go to the party that much anymore. And that goes for relationships. It's like, you know what? You're not, don't judge anybody else. You're making your own trek. That's like that woman in the line before. I'm not going to judge her about what she's got in her cart. If she asks me for help, I will help her. If she doesn't, then I can, hey man, she's reading my book. I think that's great. I think she'll get something out of the book. She may never give up meat. She may just get to the point where she eats meat in a way that's balanced with the other nourishing, physically nourishing stuff that she hits that balance for herself. And I'm not there to judge. I really am not there to judge. I just want people to think about it. I just want you to think about it for yourself and to understand that that's what it takes. To live healthy in the modern world, and that means mentally healthy and physically healthy, it takes attention. You have to pay attention. You have to pay attention. If you let yourself be guided and moved by advertising and family and tradition and ritual and nostalgia and comfort and what's easy, that picture will create what the United States has become. This is what's happening. We're living that. We get hungry and we don't think what is good for my body and then think, okay, I know that, but right now I'm to not do that because I want to, you know, have fun. But I'll do that. You know, I did that earlier today, so fine. We don't even think about that. We don't even go to that level. We go, I'm hungry, and so what do I feel like? What do I have a craving for? And then in the modern world, what we have a craving for is by our natural design going to be, in the modern world, most likely unhealthy. Because in the modern world, we have created foods that would never exist in nature that are highly caloric and very low in micronutrients. They're malnutrient foods. They're little calorie bombs, and our bodies are designed to find calories. It's just that in the wild, we wouldn't find calorie bombs. We would find whole foods. And in the modern world, when you give into your, when you just let your cravings dictate your decisions, you're going to sit on a couch because you, why? Because you don't have to move. Well, there's no necessity to move in the way that we did when we lived in the wild, where you had to move. We don't have to move now. So if you give into just how you, what you feel like doing in the moment, you're going to sit on a couch. Why would you get up? There's no need to. It just serves you no purpose. You're going to give into that. If you think to yourself, I don't feel like it, but it's good for me, and I know I'm going to feel good after, then you'll get off the couch. Or I don't really feel like a salad, but I know that that's nourishing for me, and I know I'm going to go to a dinner tomorrow night, so I kind of want to just like get that nourishment in and just like that part of self-care in. And then tomorrow, it'll be self-care in a different way, which is like more pleasurable. And that's cool, and I found a balance, and I'm not overweight, and I kind of feel good. It just depends on where you're at in that regard. But if you give into your cravings and you go, this is what I feel, you're going to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Why wouldn't you? Your body's like, holy crap, that's the best thing ever. That just, I just got all the calories I need for a year in a little box. And that's the reality of the modern world. But it doesn't suck. It's not, people who are healthy aren't miserable. People who are healthy don't walk around going, my God, this is painful. I'm in misery. They walk around like they're religious fanatics because they feel good and they've got that little light bulb that came off and went, oh my God, I love food and I'm still enjoying food, but really food isn't like the thing anymore. And I don't give a crap because I feel really good and I can enjoy food now and then and not every day. I'm not beholden to it. It's not in control of me. I'm in control of it. I'm in control of my movement. Certainly, I don't feel like running all the time, but I do in a way that adds to my life long term. And that's something to think about. So I will do another podcast before New Year's Day, but start to think about your resolutions. I'm huge on resolutions. I'm just joking. I'm totally not huge on resolutions. But if you have to have a resolution, a New Year's resolution. How about this? Be resolved to treat yourself well and to think about what that means. Don't do that for 30 days. Don't do that until February 2nd. Make a New Year's resolution to treat yourself well. And then fill in the blanks on that. And if filling in the blanks adds stress to your life, then that's not something that's good for you. That's not treating yourself well. If you think treating yourself well is getting thin and therefore going to the gym for an hour and a half every day and that adds stress to your life, that's not a good step. If you want to make yourself feel better and you want to start moving your body and you can handle 5 minutes a day and that's all you can handle, that's treating yourself well. And you find what that is for you. Make that your New Year's resolution. Don't make it some unattainable or unsustainable model. I'm going to give up my favorite food for 30 days and just labor through that and just pain through that. And at the end of 30 days, just binge on that because you've just been deprived yourself. Don't make it about deprivation. Make it about nourishment. Make it about adding into your life, enhancing your life. The process of becoming healthy should be enjoyable. How's that? What? Yes, it should be enjoyable. The process of exercise should be enjoyable. If it's not, you're doing too much. You're doing too much. Don't labor through it. I'll talk to you soon. I'm going to be back in about a week. All right? Enjoy and be well.
And I will send for you. I will send for you. I will send for you, knowing that you may now come. Here's my apology. Here's my discontent. State of gray. Here is my fall from you. Here is my admission of fall.